It's lore time, baby!
To Podcast Evolved, your home for Halo. I am your host, Krista, and with me today is Aaron.
Hi, guys.
And I want you, all of you guys, to know we are taking time away from the Halo Infinite flight to film this.
Yes, we are being very good.
We're doing our job, we're doing our due diligence. That's how much you guys mean to us, so I hope you feel proud of yourselves. This week, we're going to be talking about our character dossier series. We're going to talk about Halsey. We were going to do a Halsey and Cortana episode, but our script is already 12 pages long with only Halsey information, and, you know, I'm not looking to sit here and record for about 4 hours straight. What about you, Aaron?
No, I do not want to be here longer than a Lord of the Rings extended edition. At no point do I want to be here this long.
I mean, it would be kind of epic to be like, you could watch Lord of the Rings, or you could listen to our Halsey Cortana episode.
I don't think anyone needs that inflicted on them.
Someone is going to message us on Twitter and be like, I want a 4-hour podcast, and then we will have to do it. So if you want a 4-hour podcast, let us know. But before we get started, if you're new to the show, welcome. Podcast Evolved is a host to a variety of shows. This is like our main show where we do news and lore and all that kind of fun stuff. And we have a bunch of other shows that are like Halo Headlines, Built with Blocks, Halo Book Club, and Mission Debrief. And we also have a wonderful partnership with HCS Pro Talk. Josh and Will, they discuss the latest information in the competitive Halo scene. I think they'll have some interesting stuff to say about the Halo Infinite flight, so if you haven't already, go over to them and see what they're saying about Halo Infinite. They have better stuff to say than we do. You can learn more about them and our awesome everything at halopodcastevolved.com. If you're already a fan of the show, we ask you to rate us and leave us a review. We greatly appreciate all feedback we receive. We read all of the comments, and some of them make me cry, but you know what? We get through it. Also, we have patrons, and for some reason they give us money, so thank you! I'm already manic. I'm kind of manic this week. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate all of the donations you guys give us. It has helped us do lots of things that we didn't think we could, and it's also helping to put together some plans that I think we are like possibly going to do for the launch of a certain Halo game and like a few months.
We're all buying ourselves the Halo limited edition console from scalpers.
Your funds have allowed us to buy expensive consoles. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks so much. We're not giving back to the community. We're buying ourselves just random shit. So our patrons receive a variety of exclusive rewards such as early episodes, unique swag, and access to our own soundtrack, which features 18 songs. Our soundtrack is not us, like, singing Halo songs, so I'm sorry if that's what you're expecting. If you do want a soundtrack of us just, like, improvising Halo songs, let me know. I'll put that together. If you want to learn more, head over to patreon.com/halopodcastevolved. Finally, I have one more thing. We're not going to the episode yet. One more. I encourage our listeners to support Audible, where they can get and enjoy a growing collection of Halo novels all in one place with thousands of other novels, guided wellness programs, and much more. Our URL is audibletrial.com/podcastevolve. That's a great way to support us, and we really appreciate it. Thank you. All right. So the next thing we're technically supposed to do is talk about what we did in Halo this week, but I think both of our answers are the flight, and I think both of us want to just get on with the show, right?
Yeah, also we're going to talk about some of this in the headlines, so I think we can skip the flight stuff.
Yeah, so if you're looking for opinions, go to Halo Headlines episode 926, 26th of September. So, or whatever we call it. I don't know what we call our headlines anymore.
I can give you an insight and tell you that I did terribly in PvP and I won't be back.
You're quitting?
Look, I gave up on PvP a long time ago. That's all I'm going to say. There's a reason I've only been playing games like The Division. I want to play it with people to help me and not against people.
Oh, that makes me sad, Aaron.
I just want friends.
I wanted to play against people.
No, I also discovered that the left bumper on my Elite controller is indeed starting to go.
No!
That makes bumper jumper very difficult.
I dropped my Elite Series 2 the other day, and I wanted to die. Because every time you drop an Elite controller, it's like you dropped a Lego. Like a Lego set. Everything just goes fucking crashing everywhere, and now you have to crawl around on the floor trying to find, like, the fucking thumbstick.
It's terrifying. The first time I did it as well, I was like, oh no, I've lost a paddle. I'm gonna have to buy one of those, like, stupidly expensive sets off fucking Amazon or something.
But then you found it?
Yeah, I did. It turned up under a cupboard, weirdly.
Under a cupboard?
Yeah, it shot across the room, just flew.
They do. They just, like, those pieces, it's like an explosion. So I try my best, one, because I don't want to damage the controller, and two, because every time I drop it, it's a really, really stressful to find all the pieces, and I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
They're also really expensive, and every time you think about dropping them, you go, this is like half the price of a console, and I just accidentally dropped it.
I dropped a $200 controller. I'm a monster.
That's never good. I get this new Master Chief one and I'm going to have to like wrap it in bubble paper and hang on to it and keep it safe.
Yeah, you're going to have like a special like bubble wrapped case that you like put your arms through to use it. You can only play it in a special box that it's in, and then you have to like put it back in and take your arms out.
It's the reason I got a wireless headset, because the time I knocked the controller off the table was because I stood up with my headset still on and forgot, and the wire dragged it off the table. It actually broke my chat pad because the headphone jack on it doesn't work anymore, and I was like, well, now I need to buy a wireless headset.
Well, now you live without wires, which is a good way to live.
Anyway, enough shite about Elite controllers. Let's go on to the important stuff, which is... lore!
Lore!
First up, I will do a quick refresh in what we did on the last dossier episode. The last one was Banished Leaders. We're just going to go through this very quickly because it was also a long episode. The short version is Atriox formed the Banished after he became disillusioned with the Covenant and rebelled. You all know the cutscene from Halo Wars 2. We don't know too much about the majority of Banished leaders. We have a lot of names. We have a little bit of lore on some of them. Not a lot in anyone else. Banished leaders come from all sections. We've got brutes, elites, hunters. We have possibly one grunt who may just be having a heroin-fueled dream. We don't know.
Probably.
Atriox was last seen in the universe on Reach. That was in Shadows of Reach. He came back to the main galaxy.
Spoilers!
And minor spoilers for the artwork that released with the flight, but there is an artwork piece that shows Master Chief lying on the ground having got an ass-whooping from Atriox.
Oh, really? I haven't even seen that.
Yeah, there's one sketch of that where Chief is face down on the ground and Atriox is, like, looming above him.
Well, I guess everyone's spoiled now, so... damn, they're really bringing out the big guns for Halo Infinite.
Yeah, well, everyone has to take these things with a pinch of salt, because as I was saying to Tom when we played the beta, everyone remembers that really cool piece of fan art, or of concept art. Was it for Halo 4 or 5 where Chief has, like, the cape and the assault rifle that doesn't exist, and he's standing on the mountain of, like, Covenant bodies, Doom-style, shooting down at the elites, and you're like, that never made it anywhere, but it's really fucking cool to look at.
Yep.
Right, I will start off with some details on Halsey, and then we're going to bounce back and forth between her very, very long life.
Oh my god, that lady has lived in her years.
She has done a lot of stuff, and I've also just realised that for Halsey's age, she looks quite old, because I've realised that like by the end of Halo 5 going into Halo Infinite, she's only 68.
She's got them stress lines, you know? She's got them big old stress lines.
And she sounds very old and a bit dithery these days. I don't know. She sounds older than she looks. But anyway, I suppose she's had a lot of late nights and stuff. Right, quick details. Catherine Halsey was born on the 19th of March, 2492. Her homeworld was Endymion, I think it's pronounced. Her height is 170 centimetres, or 5 foot 7. She weighs about 53 kilos, or 117 pounds. Convenient. That's without her arm, by the way.
Oh.
Halopedia did also list her weight with arm, but that's irrelevant now.
What?
Her hair was originally black, and it's now very, very grey. She has blue eyes, and she is both an MD and a PhD.
She's a smart lady.
She's a very smart lady, because I didn't realise how young she was when she signed up to Oni, as we will learn as we go through this. So I'm going to hand over section one to you, Krista.
All right, here we go. Early life of Dr. Catherine Elizabeth Halsey, who isn't a doctor quite yet, but she was born in March 19th of 2492 on the colony of Edmoin, whatever it's called, in the coastal city of Port Vernon. She was pretty smart as a child and was always reading, like a nerd. She was very eager to share her knowledge, so she was definitely like she's like that smart-ass kid that you're like, shut the fuck up. The first game of chess Catherine played was with her mother, and that was the only one she ever lost. Only one she ever lost to her. Oh, shit.
I think it's the only one she ever lost ever, yeah.
Yeah, she just dunked on her mom ever since then in chess. At a young age, she was sent to the elite academy, Edmoin Gifted, where she was continued to defy educational standards. Eventually, she was afforded a trip to Circumstance in 2501 from the Dean of Biological Science from Quarter Browning University, who completely funded her education until the completion of her second doctoral thesis. Damn. And she completed her second doctoral thesis around her 15th birthday? What the f-
Yes, motherfucker is smart.
This lady's smart. This is just going to be the entire... You know what? I'm going to cut this episode into like 20 minutes. Dr. Halsey is a very smart lady. There, done. We can leave now.
Yay!
In 2507, while still a doctoral candidate, she met Dr. Elias Carver at an academic social mixer. Why is she going to a social mixer at 15?
You've got to do something. Maybe it was non-alcoholic.
Okay, hopefully. And couldn't resist correcting his obsolete algorithm implementation when she heard him describing the matrix mechanism of social, economic, and politico-economic vectors of human expansion. Oh my god.
Just to narrow that down for people, this is specifically a model used to predict when the UEG, like, controlled galaxy would implode in on itself in civil war.
Oh. She was always thinking about that.
Yeah, he has a model based on, like, I forget what it is, six layers or six dimensions, and Halsey comes up with, like, a 16-dimensional model, which is much more accurate. And he didn't take it well.
No, that's the next bullet point. He didn't take it well. He saw her as a young upstart, but her words seemingly caused Captain Michael Stanforth. Oh, Stanforth of the UNSC Office of Naval Intelligence to take note of her. He's just like puts a check mark by her. 3 weeks later, a grant she had proposed for using artificial intelligence to control N-dimensional matrices was greenlit by the UNSC with the funding contingent on the successful testing of a model of its choosing. Naturally, it was Carver's model, which she had directed to test. So she's really bullying this guy. She's like, I'm going to make sure everyone knows your model's flawed.
Yep.
She knew that this flawed model would produce flawed results, so she ran her variant as a condition in addition to his version. So she made her own version and then tested his version and then completely owned this guy. Carver's model predicted a breakdown of social order in the outer colonies within 20 years unless strict governmental control was established and reinforced immediately by a permanent military presence. Catherine ran more than 1,400 simulations during this time, varying every parameter. And even in the best case scenario, it was clear to her that the outer colonies at large would rebel against the UEG soon, which is the Unified Earth Government. She determined at a minimum the resulting conflict could lead to 30 years of war and the deaths of 5 billion people. The maximum effect was unbounded and could involve interminable war and a new dark age for humanity. Man, she's like 15 and she's already predicting the end. She took her findings to Stanforth only to learn that Oni had already reached the same conclusion. The agency had been keeping an eye on her for years, and it had been decided that in order to recruit her, she would need to convince herself that working with the agency was necessary to save the human race. Man, she's like 16 and she's already working for Oni. So she allowed herself to be recruited at 16, 2508, and in early 2510, she was brought to the inner colony of Reach and contracted to work as a civilian consultant on a number of classified projects. This chick has lived. Man, when I was 16, I was like just playing Halo Reach for 12 hours a day.
By 16, she's been approached by like Oni, and by 18, she's working for Oni.
She's like speedrunning life. You know the gaming speedrunners? She's speedrunning life. She's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm speedrunning through my childhood.
Yeah, she goes through a lot of stuff pretty quick. It's impressive.
It kind of is a testament to kind of she, because she's not normal, you know. She's obviously not normal in many regards, but she's obviously not super well adjusted to certain things, and this kind of brings light to that. Some of her quirks and, you know, leaps in logic and stuff like that. I mean, she did not have a childhood at all. She was too smart. She was too smart to have a childhood.
Yes, it almost reminds you of a certain forerunner who's very similar.
The Librarian.
Yes. All right, I will tackle this next section.
Oh my god, it's huge.
They're all like that.
We have like 13 more pages of this.
It's all right, we're 18 minutes in, we're going to be good with this.
Perfect. 3 hours.
I have titled this next section what Halopedia titled it, which is Spartan Origins.
Perfect.
This starts with basically, after arriving at Reach, Dr. Halsey spends a few months setting up a new lab. At one point during this time, she stops at a local shop while coming from the main base, where she picks up some coffee and a journal.
Ooh.
She decides she's going to write some things down old school because then they can't be spied on electronically. And if you're thinking, Halsey's journal seems familiar, that's because it is one of the single best pieces of game-related merch Halo has ever done. It was available in like the limited and legendary editions of Reach, and if you can ever find a copy of it, it's bloody brilliant.
I think they sell it off Amazon. I think you can get it off Amazon.
Yeah, you can pick it up in a few places here and there, but like the attention to detail is so good. Everything about it comes in this like nice, officially sealed bubble wrap. The book itself is really good. By the way, if you do have the book, you will have noticed there are pages missing from it. Those are available online. 343 released them a few years ago. So you can go and look those up and see what's on the missing pages. I don't think I specifically listed it in this because I couldn't honestly remember where they were.
They're the AI experiment. Those are the missing pages.
Oh, okay. We do cover that section later. Right. Next up, by August 8th of that year, the day in which she records her first entry in the journal, she's begun to undertake a project that would eventually become Spartan 2. She is simultaneously dreading it and inspired by it. Let's see. By this point, Catherine has already designed a number of intrusion algorithms to be employed to bypass artificial intelligence, enhanced data, recording, and storage systems. So already she is like making inroads into all the pieces that will become useful later. By the 4th of December of that year, while sitting in the lab, Halsey made a second entry in her journal recalling a series of events which led her to Reach and to be working for Oni. She ended the entry by asking how many lives would need to be spent to save all humanity and whether any price was too high to pay. In order to ensure its security, resuming her work thereafter. So she's kind of having a few doubts at this stage. What is the price worth paying? What do we do? Let's see, next up we have February 15th, 2511. So she's like 19 at this stage. Dr. Halsey, in her journal, went over details of Project Orion and recorded ways in which she believed a successor could improve upon what had been accomplished. And if you don't remember, Orion was the original program to make super soldiers or enhanced soldiers. It sort of comes up a couple of times, but the last iteration of Orion is now, I think it's officially canon that that is Johnson. Johnson was one of the final Orion candidates.
Yes.
He is enhanced, and that is why he is immune to the Flood.
Yes.
Because of damage to his nerves from the Orion Project. Based on the failures documented surrounding the genetic augmentation and immunosuppressant administration provided by Orion candidates, Halsey determined that the most suitable candidates for a future generation of augmented warriors would need to be prepubescent and pose more malleable and robust DNA structures and repair enzymes. So this is where Halsey is coming for your kids.
No, not the children.
The idea starts here and it all goes downhill from there.
She's like, if I didn't get a childhood, no one gets a childhood.
Pretty much. And she then realizes she's going to have to search through 39 billion DNA records to find the appropriate children. She goes to, it's the Colonial Administration Authority's Outer Colony Vaccination Program. And she sets AIs to work, like sort of going through the database. And she comes up with a series of criteria to try and make the search a bit quicker. Because she's looking for the ideal candidates. Additionally, she recognized that in order to mitigate the post-traumatic stress disorder and sympathy for the insurgents exhibited by many from Orion, total indoctrination would be required.
Oof.
Currently playing Mass Effect, so every time I hear indoctrination, I think Reapers, but anyway. She was opposed to the sort of brainwashing that people in Oni would suggest and instead decided that the answer would be long-term training. So basically, kidnap kids, train them for at least a decade and train all the sympathy out of them. If you brainwash a soldier, you run the risk that it might undo itself or you might break them mentally, and you don't want a broken Spartan.
You want someone who's never known any different. That's what she did.
You want kids that will kill Marines in the gym over a misunderstanding.
Perfect.
Just over a week later, on February 23rd, Halsey read in the news about a nuclear terror attack on the Haven Arcology in Mamor, which left 2 million dead and millions more expected to die from fallout. This only helps basically make Halsey's mind up that she is in fact doing the right thing, contemplating stealing children. On the 30th of July 2511, Halsey received test results for new polymerized lithium nanosine. The material, it's basically, it was originally designed to expel static discharge from ships coming out of slipspace, but it can also be molded into a material to increase the strength of the person wearing it. She starts to play around with the idea of using this in a suit for her Gen 2 Orion soldiers. But I think at this stage in the timeline, it is extremely cost prohibitive, and she realizes she would need a nuclear reactor strapped to it to make it work. So it's still a theory work in progress. Then on September 8th, 2511, Halsey records in her journal that she recently finalized technobabble, please prepare yourself, finalized the control parameters for a fast Fourier transform X-ray 3D scan for mapping a brain's ionic density patterns that indicate individual links. And the short version of that is, this is a scanner which can scan a human brain and transfer memories into a digital or cloned copy.
Oh, yeah.
She has built this technology, which may come in useful down the line when she's doing stuff with brains.
She's a zombie.
Yes, she basically, it says here in the notes that complete human clones could feasibly now be produced that were indistinguishable from the original. Next up, June 19th, 2513, Dr. Halsey settled on a new name for Project Orion after Stanforth suggested that a change of name might help distance themselves from the original failure. After a little research, she settles on Spartan, because she thinks it best represents the project aims. Coincidentally, it's also because they trained their soldiers from childhood. Oh, also, originally she was funded for 300 candidates. So, right on the nose there. She also decides to name the project specifically Spartan 2, therefore acknowledging the original Spartan program. So that's why there's no Spartan 1 program, because it's Project Orion. Always wondered that for years. When you're like, what? Where's the Spartan 1s if this is a Spartan 2? Then you go read the books. And then in 2515, Halsey was officially named a scientific advisor for Oni. Oh, right. That's that section over.
Okay, my turn. So Spartan selection. By July 21st, 2517, Halsey had been provided with her own team, to which she delegated much of the responsibility for screening outer colony candidates for the Spartan 2s. She did this so it might be completed within a reasonable time frame so that the kids were not grown up after they did all that, and so that she could personally focus on processing those from a single region of space, Sector 4. The children from this sector, which met the criteria Halsey had identified in her original study, had files assembled personally for her. In total, 150 subjects were to be considered. However, only 75 would be ultimately selected. Halsey then selected Jacob Keyes, her future,
plaything.
Yeah. To be her attaché during her selection operation. Keyes was then assigned to the pilot of the Han, to protect Halsey and otherwise stay out of her way. On August 17th, Halsey and Keyes took the Han to the Iridinus system to examine candidate 117. We all know this story.
Yes, there's a coin, there's tossing, there's a whole load of things.
Halsey and Keyes made their way in onto the campus and, you know, flipped the coin and all that kind of stuff. And she watched John just beat the shit out of all these other kids. And she's like, that's him. That's the Master Chief.
That's the bully for me.
Pretty much. After similar visits to multiple other children in Sector 4, the Han took them to Dwarka, a harsh world still in the process of being terraformed. The child to be considered there was an orphan by the name of Soren. Oh, fuck. Who had survived on his own for around 3 months following the deaths of his mother and stepfather. And that she fucked up his life. Halsey left Keyes aboard the Han and approached Soren alone at a place he was being cared for at this point. She discussed the situation to him, which made him a clear offer as she could about him becoming a Spartan. Faced with the choice of leaving with Dr. Halsey or being placed in a foster home, he quickly agreed to go with her, and he was never heard from again. All right, over to you, Aaron.
He was, unfortunately. That's the sad thing about poor old Soren.
Poor old Soren.
While we're here, it's worth looking into Soren a little bit, as he is one of the key characters in the TV show, if we ever get that far.
Yes. There's a short story in Evolutions about him. It's worth reading.
It's a good story. Yes, Pariah, if you're interested. I will try to put links to as many things in the show notes. All right, this next one, we can skim through some of it, but again, it's quite long. This is the Spartan 2 program. This kicks off with Halsey and Keyes returning to Reach by September 10th. Halsey tells Deja to let her know that she has settled on her the rest of her team know that she's settled on her 75 candidates. Halsey is then in low orbit above Reach when she gives the command to go and kidnap the kids. If you would like to read something truly traumatic about that, go and read the intro to Mortal Dictata.
Oh,
it is
God.
Stressful as fuck.
Yep.
That and the start to Legacy of Onyx are probably like the two most stressful Halo novel intros ever.
Yep.
Both worth a read. Don't listen to any of them while driving. Too much stress. Okay, what have we got next? On September 17th, Halsey and Keyes finally parted company after months together. Halsey felt he was beginning to suspect more. There was more to their incursions than mere field observations. So he started to realize she was about to kidnap loads of kids.
Yay.
says here, about 11 o'clock on September 23rd, Halsey is standing on a platform in an amphitheatre within Oni and under Castle Base, and this is where she gives her speech to the Spartan 2 candidates about how they've been called to serve and they've been conscripted and protect Earth and her colonies and blah, 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 blah. There's a little bit of light shock stick treatment to a few of them. All nice, friendly stuff. On December 24th, Dr. Halsey receives a batch of after-action reports regarding the fates of the clones used to replace most of these stolen children, because Halsey decided to replace the kids with clones to
make her feel better.
Well, originally she pitches it as to, like, not leave people too suspicious that their kids disappeared and were never found. But they do go into it in the Kilo 5 trilogies that they very much think it was to soothe her own conscience that she stole all these kids from their parents, because she says in the novel, basically, like, the kids could have survived. And Parangoski, I think, is interrogating her and going, why the fuck didn't you use the clones with the Spartan program? You knew better. You knew they weren't going to survive. You did it for yourself and it was fucked up.
Yep.
The clones basically break down over time. That's the thing. All of these clone replacements turned into terminally ill children and died slow, painful deaths.
Yay!
Just what you want. First you think your kid's kidnapped, then they die. By December 10th, 2518, she and CPO Mendez have identified Kurt, Jerome, Fred and John as the potential leaders of the trainees. In the end, that would go to Chief, although Mendez had his money on Kurt. Kurt would go on to be future Mendez, so that didn't happen. On January 18th, 2524, we get the CFHT Mars Telescope, which captures a 10-minute exposure image of an anomalous object within the star cluster NGC 2244 nearing human space. An acquaintance of Halsey's later sent her the image for evaluation, along with a note describing the unidentified object as having guided movement and not belonging to the UNSC. And this is high charity. So this is the first time humanity saw the Covenant and didn't realise it. It's actually in Halsey's journal. The slip of paper and the printout is part of it. There's a whole load of things in the journal that Halsey has, like, collected. So you can go and look at this image. So this was the first time the UNSC spotted something, but didn't realise yet that they weren't alone and the evil aliens were close. So on November 17th of the same year, Halsey made an entry in her journal following a conference she had attended at the University of Calipus. While at the conference, she had reunited with Jacob Keyes and they had sexy time.
Oh no!
This is where you get the, I think it's one of the Halo terminals, where you see sexy Halsey in lingerie.
Yeah, it gets my juices going.
It's not as good as sexy Halsey from Halo Legends, but, you know, it's pretty close.
Halo Legends Halsey's best Halsey.
Yeah, so for being one of the smartest women around, Halsey and Keyes do not use protection, and Halsey would go on to have a daughter called Miranda. That relationship does not go well. Spoilers for the future. On March 10th, 2525, Project Aster was initiated. And this is where Halsey takes the 75 Spartans to the mobile medical facility Endurance in orbit above Reach and does the augmentations on them. And then quite a few of them die. So by March 30th, Halsey is joined by 45 Spartan 2s who survived the augmentation. Some of the others survived but are no longer fit for service. Some of them are dead and in cryo and will be brought back into the lore later. The 45 Spartans gather with Halsey and Mendez aboard the heavy carrier Atlas. And they have a little funeral for the dead Spartans. It's closed casket because they are empty, because they are not throwing away Spartan 2 bodies, even if they're dead. The Atlas was then patrolling the Lambda Serpentis system on April 22nd, and it was in the middle of the night, about 4:30 in the morning, when Oni engineered a conflict between Chief and a couple of ODSTs in the gym. And we know how that went. Chief kicked the fuck out of them and I think killed two of the three of them?
Yes, I believe so.
I think one survives, but like he just outright snaps one in half with a barbell. And I think fucks the other one up too. Halsey takes a lot of... she pays a lot of attention to this fight because she sort of knew it was coming up. Mendez is the one to go and break it up and he's horrified while she's just studying John being like, oh, I wonder how this effect, the enhancements affect his adrenaline. You're like, you've just watched him murder a few people. That's a little bit...
too soon.
Yeah. It was not until early June that Sarin, who was counted among the washouts, woke up from his comatose state. That is the story Pariah. There's a lot of interaction between Sarin and Halsey in that. Sarin is basically the Spartan that Halsey felt could most handle the truth. And that went great up until he joined the insurrectionists and rebelled.
Yay.
And he would go on to escape, and then he will be back in the TV show. By June 27th, planning was underway for experimental surgeries and therapies to rehabilitate more than 80% of the washouts. So this would go on to give us people like Saren Osman, who was rehabilitated. Red Team are washouts. The current Red Team in Halo Wars, they were washouts that were rehabilitated as well. They didn't make it through the original augmentation. Halsey noted in her journal that several of these protocols could take years to complete and that AIs were predicting a survival rate of no greater than 50%. But she also believed that her Spartans would exceed expectations just as they always had. So that gives us a little bit of wiggle room every time we need a new Spartan 2 character in the lore. We just go into the cryo chamber and we pick out another frozen one.
Pretty much.
Although I think we are pretty close to our limit of named Spartan 2s now. Like we're probably up in around like the mid-50s, maybe 60s. And we know some of them were irreversibly damaged, so we probably are near our fill of like Spartan 2s we can roll out. Next up, on June 30th, 2552, Halsey was shocked to learn that Naval Special Weapons had approved limited-run production of Mjolnir. She had expected at least another 3 months to elapse before she got such news. One file in the official response she received also contained a partial routing code, which she was able to backtrack through the NavSpec firewalls. Doing so revealed a volunteer had been put in one of the prototype suits of armor and had basically killed himself with his own pain spasms.
Yep.
They go into that in graphic detail in...
I think it's Fall of Reach.
And it's also animated as well.
Oh good, they animated that.
Yep, you get to see a little bit of that too. But yeah, he basically... I think the short version is, if you're not built for Mjolnir, it breaks your bones. So he moves his arm and breaks it, and then every time he flinches and cries, he kills himself. So it's a bit dark. I think it said in the notes that he broke his spine in 3 different places alone.
And then he died.
And then he died. Well, I fucking hope he died, because it would not be worth staying alive in that suit.
No.
All right, over to you.
All right. Talking about Mjolnir. More Mjolnir stuff. By September 1st, 2525, Halsey had begun applying a new liquid metal crystal version of polymerized lithio niobocene. Its amorphous nature allowed it to be poured into a capillary system where microelectric fields could be direct crystallization geometrics. Oh my god. It's basically talking about how she created the Mjolnir system.
Yes, it's the undersuit weave material that gives Master Chief all his strength. It's weaved into the suit, and then they strap the big reactor on his back, and that make Master Chief go burr.
Pretty much. It's very technical. It's very scary. If you want to read up about it, it is interesting. On September 11th, Halsey had just returned to Reach. Chief Mandus was surprised to find her reclining in her chair when he opened the door to his office. She told him the situation had changed and asked to know where the Spartans were. He told them that they'd been forced to find them in other facilities recently and offered to show her what he meant. This is the capture the flag game from the underground facility in the soldiers in mech suits against the Spartans because they're just so devious and amazing.
Yeah, that's like that bit in that book's fantastic. Yeah, it just sets up that these, because I think Mendez at one point's like, hey, we dropped them in here a few days ago. I don't know where they got the black suits or the rope from, and I don't know how they disabled the cameras, but they did it.
Yeah, he just completely loses all control over that situation, which is kind of funny.
They had to put them in the mech suits because they were accidentally killing the trainers in like hand-to-hand combat training. So they were like, okay, guys, we're going to give you the suits from Avatar and you're going to do your best to fight the Spartans. And they still fuck them up.
Yep. All right. At 0605 hours the next day, both Halsey and Mendus met the Spartans in the UNSC Pioneers briefing room while en route to the Iridanus system. The doctor walked to a podium and greeted them with good news. Command had decided to finally put their abilities to test, capturing Watts, who is a huge insurrectionist man. November 2nd of 2525, Halsey met the Spartans on Reach and briefed them on humanity's first experience with the Covenant, which was not a good experience. It was a pretty bad one. If you want to learn about that, Contact Harvest.
So many books.
There's so many.
It's almost like Halsey's an important character.
I know, right? By November 6th, Halsey and the Spartans had departed Reach aboard a Paris-class heavy frigate, the UNSC Commonwealth. The next 3 weeks were spent handling a variety of minor missions under her guidance on their way out of the Chi Seti IV on the edge of UNSC-controlled space.
Yeah, Chi Seti 4 in the Chi Seti system. I only remember that because it's specifically read out loud in the Fall of Reach animated series and someone says it out loud because some of these names are hard.
Some of them are hard. On November 7th, the Commonwealth finally arrived to the Chi Seti system. They fight the combat, the Spartans get their Mjolnir armor, and then immediately Sam dies and the blue team destroy one Covenant ship.
They do, and it takes a lot to take out that ship.
Yeah, and it's not a capital ship or anything like that. It's a smaller ship too.
Yep, Sam's the first Spartan fatality in combat since augmentation. You kind of know all that story by now, so we don't need to get too into it. But there is a brief moment where Halsey's bricking it because she realizes all of the Spartans and all of the Mjolnir armor are in the one place, and everyone could be wiped out.
Yep.
Next up in the timeline comes Silent Storm. I'm not going to go too far into this. If you go and listen to our book club, you can get all the details. Things of note in here, Halsey uses her seductive powers at one stage in quite a funny scene in this book. She is an overprotective mother hen to the Spartans, and nobody trusts the Spartans yet. That's basically how this goes.
Yep.
Oh, and Sergeant Johnson basically decides their training was fucking terrible and does it again. And kicks their ass a lot. Go and, like I said, I will link to the book club. It's worth a good read. Silent Storm is a fantastic book. The next book up is Oblivion in the timeline. It's also not a bad book, but I preferred Silent Storm more. Next up, 13 days later on April 20th, Halsey noted in her journal that Vice Admiral Stamforth had ordered she and others within the UNSC to repurpose all their investigations into quelling the Covenant threat. Halsey agreed with this because this was Halsey's suggestion, and she's a bit sarky when she replies to Stanforth about it. By this time, Halsey had learned that only Section 2 had sent emissary leaders out to the outer colonies in an effort to negotiate peace with the insurrectionists. And they basically brought video footage of the glassing of Bliss, and that did a very good job of getting everyone to agree to a ceasefire. In her journal, Halsey wonders if the alien threat might have solved the Civil War issue. Not a trade she would have made, but perhaps a small victory nonetheless. We will later go on to find out that that was not the case, because as soon as the war is over, everyone goes back to fighting. Near the start of May, John 117 told Halsey that he suspected the Covenant had created a special Spartan hunter team to go after the Spartans, obviously. This is part of Silent Storm and leads into Oblivion. So that's that entire book dealing with it. This goes on with June 3rd of that year. Task Force Pantera, a wolf pack battle group, shoot down a Covenant ship on the planet Netherop, and then Chief spends a lot of time shuffling around the desert with Blue Team.
Yep, it's weird.
On the Hell Planet with the children with the spider robots.
It's weird.
It's a very different book compared to what you're used to in Halo. It's not a bad book, but I think Silent Storm like set the bar very high.
Yeah, it's different. Here are just some kind of important events. On April 9th, 2530, the Doctor made note that Chief Mendez had pretty much dropped completely off the radar. No one knew where he was. She decided to continue monitoring this development, and she felt something must be wrong to have pulled him off the radar like this. At some point prior to 2531, Halsey took at least one student, Ellen Anders, from Halo Wars. The two had a mutual hate for one another, according to Anders' later recollection. So she took on a student that absolutely hated her, and she hated the student. On July 12th, 2531, Jacob Keyes agreed to take in Miranda, which her mother figured would be the best. On January 8th, 2532, Halsey recorded her thoughts upon learning that several of the chemical precursors in Project Aster had been routed to Section 3 laboratories on a bunch of different places. I'm not going to read them all. She was enraged at the possibility that the Spartan 2 program might be being replicated without her guidance, and she could not fathom what the implications of that might be. By November 10th, 2533, Catherine had developed a new theoretical architecture, which involved three artificial intelligence arranged in parallel, which is interesting. It's a bit more covered in Dr. Halsey's journal, so I recommend reading that for more information on that. November 22nd, 2535, Halsey had received what were being referred to as top secret Henshek findings, named for Lieutenant Henshek, who was procured a cache of Covenant weapons and miscellaneous artifacts during a skirmish in the Indra asteroid cluster. They started to realize the Covenant might not be developing as fast as humanity. Ooh, they're a little bit behind because they pretty much skipped the tutorial level and spawned in a bunch of extra weapons with the Forerunner stuff. Now they don't know how to do shit.
Goes into a lot of detail in Halopedia and in her journal as well, but she basically figures out that the Covenant are like, I forget what the word is, but they reproduce technology. They don't invent their own, which is why she looks at various Covenant weapons and has a suspicion that they were built for something else and repurposed.
Yeah, they're just taking Forerunner shit and repurposing it, basically. By January 10th, 2536, UNSC scientists successfully studied the internals of a Jackal shield gauntlet, leading to them to speculate that the technology could be replicated. Halsey had the researchers transfer to reach with an eye on Mark V integration. Yeah! By March 21st, an experiment which involved severing portions of an AI from its living matrix strata and then reintegrating data and connections had gone flawlessly and would go on to allow AIs to sever off smaller versions of themselves to operate independently as needed. Like BB and Cortana's done it, a lot of AIs have done that.
Right, I will go with these next couple here, so we will bounce through them. This one is more sexy Halsey, so this is the capture and rescue of Halsey in Halo Legends.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because don't forget, that's canon. At some point during the same year, the inner colony world of Muradam came under assault by the Covenant while Dr. Halsey was there. Dr. Halsey was, the colony was declared lost after 2 weeks of fighting. During the civilian egress which followed, Halsey and her bodyguard Sheila 065 managed to evacuate aboard a ship. Halsey was in cryo, Sheila was killed in the process, Halsey's cryo tube was acquired, and Chief and several disposable Spartans and Blue Team went there to rescue her.
Uh-oh.
All of the disposables died. That's a thing, and we also get weirdly young, sexy catsuit Halsey out of that, so that's a thing. This next one is a creepy one, and it's actually not... It's listed here different to how I remember it in my head, because I thought this was done with a Cortana fragment, but apparently it was not. On September 4th, 2547, the battle-worn frigate UNSC Tripping Light arrived at Reach to have its slipspace drive decommissioned. Halsey takes this opportunity to basically hijack the drive and carry out an experiment. She puts an AI sample in a slipspace probe, uses the slipspace drive to launch it into slipspace, and then takes readings from the AI as it travels through slipspace and apparently goes absolutely fucking insane.
Yay!
These are the pages that Halsey rips out of her journal because she's so freaked out by it. She's like, I hope that AI's dead.
Yeah, well, she never gets it back. It just becomes concerning and then she forgets about it.
Yeah, in my head, this is one of the cloned brains from the Cortana project, but apparently it is not because this happened beforehand. So, yeah, that's a thing that happened. The AI doesn't appear, it says in the notes, it doesn't show signs of rampancy, but it very much starts to talk crazy shit. Also, some of the crazy shit sounds very suspiciously Gravemind-esque in its like weird, wordy nature, so I don't know if that's a clue to anything about slipspace and the domain.
That would be terrifying.
This next section is Cortana. So on March 24th, 2549, Halsey made a note in which she reminded herself to soon finish field testing experiments with direct human AI neural linkages. So she is coming up with the last part of the Mjolnir project, which is a direct link through the back of the head, which would link a Spartan with their AI companion. And this was the last upgrade she really came up with for the Mark V. This would be like the full setup for the Spartan program.
Yeah.
On March 21st, Dr. Halsey cloned herself 20 times.
Fuck.
Yes, she broke a lot of laws. She broke a lot of rules. And basically, she grew all these clones so she could make copies of her brain. The goal was... When you build an AI, you make it from the brain of a donor. So someone dies, their brain is frozen, it is then plugged in and they pulse it with electric, they map the brain, and that builds the base template for an AI. In the process, the brain is destroyed, so you can't map the brain of a living human. But what you can do is clone your brain and then destroy that clone. So that's what Halsey did. On November 7th, 2549, she transferred and authenticated the H1 specimen clone brain pattern to an AI matrix, and this gave us Cortana. Cortana picked her own name, styled herself as a human, and Halsey considered her a generational leap in AI technology. And that would go on to be referenced a few times, including in the Kilo 5 trilogy, although BB very much regards her as a nightmare Frankenstein project.
Yep.
The first words spoken by Cortana were those Halsey's mother had said after beating her daughter in a chess, in that first chess game decades prior. When the game is over, the king and the pawn go back in the same box. Except I think it's in Italian when her mother says it.
Yeah.
The last thing to note here is that Halsey also mentions that brain specimens H2, 3 and 4 would go on to be put into cryogenic suspension as she had plans for them later when technology developed. They would go on to be the brains that Blue Team would go to rescue in Shadows of Reach.
Yeah.
Back to you.
All right, Xeno Archaeology and Other Investigations. Oh, good, I'm so excited for this. April 6th, 2550, Halsey reflected on her history as a mother, which was not a good history, regretting her inability to dissuade Miranda from joining the military. Miranda had recently been one of only two people to make it off of the UNSC Hilbert alive after she'd gotten the order to sacrifice it to take out a Covenant destroyer threatening three UNSC corvettes. As such, Keyes was presented with a Silver Star, the new commander's insignia, and command of the stalwart class light frigate UNSC Amber Inclad. You might recognize that name. She invited Halsey to come to the ceremony after years of not speaking to her, but Halsey just ghosted her, basically. And then Halsey's wondering, oh man, why am I such a bad mother? By June 3rd of that year, Catherine began to investigate files under the purview of Sinconi Margaret Perengoski without permission. Oh, that's always going to make people like you. Especially those related to the planet Onyx in the Zeta Doradus system. We all know about Onyx. It's super cool. On February 20th, 2551, the UNSC Hopeful, the UNSC's largest medical facility, had departed Reach with minimal escort. According to Halsey's own sources, it was accompanied by one Oni Prowler in addition to a single destroyer. The Hopeful's AI was unusually tight-lipped when the Kalmia asked about its destination.
Kalmia is the AI Halsey had before Cortana. It's her older sister.
This, plus the late addition of carcinogenic, mutagenic, and experimental chemicals to its manifest, among other oddities, piqued the doctor's curiosity. By May of 2551, Catherine had begun to lead the excavation of an alien vessel that laid buried beneath the occupied Sword Base, which is always fun. We all know about Sword Base. On the morning of July 18th, 2552, Catherine got to have a brief talk with Admiral Stanforth concerning the protracted battle that had just concluded in Sigma Octanus IV. This followed the normal reporting on it, and by the end of the day, she had also read through both the Admiral's after-action report on the battle, given to her by him, she didn't steal that one, and the press releases put out by Section 2. Halsey's interest was piqued when she saw Jacob Keyes' name and that of his ship, the UNSC Iroquois, featured prominently in the reporting, so she found herself skipping ahead to confirm that he had survived. In her journal, she surmised that the maneuver being dubbed the Keyes Loop had been inspired by one of Admiral Cole's. And we all know the Keyes Loop. It's super epic, super fun. I think that was in Reach. Was that in Reach?
Yeah, no, it is Reach because it's going through his history. I was going to say it's not First Strike because he's dead by then.
Yeah.
The first drawing I think we get of it is also in Halsey's journal. I think she does like a simple sketch of it. So that was the first time we got to like see a visual representation of the Keyes Loop.
Which is cool. It's very complicated when it's, you know, in the story. A heavily redacted section of the after-action report that detailed, as far as Halsey could tell, a groundside mission involving Blue Team was of the most pressing concern to her. She was unsure why the Spartans would have been committed there, seeing as the planet was in all probability about to be glassed at the time. But even Kalmia was unable to break the section's encryption. The Covenant's return to the planet following the first repulsion led her to conclude it must have wanted something on it, so she resolved to follow up on this line of inquiry. I believe that is the artifact that leads to Halo, that the Covenant were looking for, so.
That's the information that Keyes intercepts when he parks the Iroquois on top of the Covenant ship that was getting, like, the laser transmission. He just smashes it into oblivion and then, like, scoops up the data.
And only Cortana can figure out what that information was. On July 21st, Sovngrad sent her brief cryptic message on his Theta channel. He claimed to have made a latchkey discovery that was too important to send through his data link, which this is Reach. He had sent with him, and since he could neither leave the field to deliver the information in person, he said he would send it through the Visegrad communication relay hub. After more than 6 hours since his voice message, Halsey still received nothing, but she decided against second-guessing him and elected to simply continue waiting. And eventually, the Spartans gave her the data in Halo Reach.
Spoilers, Sorvad would go on to be killed by zealots. but his daughter would survive. Right, so we'll go through this quickly because we don't really need to go into the details of Reach the game. So by July 23rd, contact is lost with Visegrad, Reach kicks off, Noble team go to investigate. By July 26th, Swordbase is under attack, Noble team go to help. Halsey then gets to debrief Noble team and finally finds out that there are more Spartans than the Spartan 2s. That's a cool moment.
Yeah, she's not happy.
No, only George is like nice and polite and respectful, and Carter's basically like, fuck you, bitch. Getting in my way.
You're a civilian.
Yeah, he threatens to put her in jail. You're like, oh, you're going to put mommy in jail. Don't do that. On August 1st, Admiral Stanforth had provided Dr. Halsey with a list of assets required for Operation Red Flag. So this is the plan in Fall of Reach, where they're going to go into Covenant space, kidnap a prophet, and force a peace negotiation with the Covenant. By August 3rd, Halsey and Cortana have both agreed that she should be divided in two. Part of her is going to go with Chief and the Spartans for Operation Red Flag, and the other part will stay with Halsey in the lab under Swordbase to decrypt the data in the crashed ship. And this is how they make Fall of Reach and Reach the game make sense together. By August 5th, the independent module for Katana had been successfully copied and all tests indicated it was running fine. And by August 23rd, the Spartans of Noble Team were informed that they were to redeploy to Swordbase for a torch and burn operation. But when they get there, they find out that actually Halsey needs them to evac the Cortana fragment to the Pillar of Autumn. And we all know what happens there. June survives and escorts Halsey away from Swordbase. And everyone else in Noble Team dies, but they do get the Cortana fragment back to Keys. Next up, we have Fall of Reach, the novel. Go and listen to our book club on it. It'll get the job. I figure almost everyone listening to this will have probably read Fall of Reach. The short version is that the only thing I was going to bring up actually of this is that on August 29th, Halsey inserts Master Chief's chip port in the back of his neck, and then Chief is sent on his first exercise with Cortana, which is the live fire on the obstacle course where they try to wipe him out. Chief punches a missile.
It's amazing.
And then also on August 29th, Noble Team meets up with Halsey at Swordbase. That's when that happens, and they evac.
Wow, that's like the same day? That's crazy.
Yep, all that shit happens in the one day.
She watches him punch a missile and then gets revealed that there are other Spartans out there all in one day. That woman is busy. She's a busy lady.
Halsey then returns to Castle Base for some unknown reason and decides that she's going to set off the nuke at the bottom of the base for asset denial. This kicks off First Strike, the novel. There's lots of stuff to talk about in there. Things of note: time travel, Forerunner crystals, Halsey kidnaps a comatose Kelly and takes her to Onyx, which also covers the Ghost of Onyx novel, where she gets to Onyx and tricks the last of the Spartans and Mendez into going into the Shield world, telling them that there's like a way to help there, but really she wanted to lock them away in a bunker to protect whoever she could, because she feels very guilty about the Spartan program. First Strike and Ghost of Onyx are fantastic novels. Go and read them both. Krista, do you want to take this next one? We don't really need to go into too much detail about the Kilo 5 books.
Yeah, the Kilo 5 books, they prominently feature Halsey at the very beginning, and then other than that, it's people talking shit smack about Halsey for the rest of the novels. But the main thing that happens is eventually Perengoski, Osman, and a couple other people actually are able to get into Trevelyan, which is formerly known as Onyx, and they arrest Halsey. She's imprisoned on Ivanov and is being put to work to build the Infinity and stuff. And Perengoski and her have fights all the time.
Yes.
In March 2553, she was released from Ivanov Station and was stationed aboard the UNSC Infinity, working on incorporating the newly discovered Forerunner technology to the ship, including a working Forerunner slipspace drive discovered by the Reap X department. Requiem is next.
That's basically, this is Spartan Ops. This is the story of it.
Okay, so we're skipping from 2553 all the way to 2558 here. In mid-February of 2558, Dr. Halsey arrived in the S.H.I.E.L.D. world, Requiem, in the Apolch system aboard the Sahara-class heavy prowler UNSC Aladdin. And that's kind of when we have Spartan Ops, where she loses her arm, Jewel Mandamba gets her away from the UNSC, just for a little bit until Halo 5. And escalations happens in between this.
Thing of note in escalations, Halsey hacks a contender class AI.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
But nothing of importance basically happens in escalation because we're not allowed to go to the absolute record because that would change the lore too much.
Yep, nothing happens. It's very disappointing.
Go and listen to our book clubs on escalations and don't read the comics. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
You can pick them all up now and read them pretty quickly. It's not as disappointing as it was doing the week by week. The next 72 hours is probably the best one, but there's not much else to it.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of stories that just go absolutely nowhere, unfortunately. Halo 5 is next. So, of course, at the beginning of Halo 5, Lasky and the team rescue Halsey from Jewel Mandamba. And then at the end of September 2558, Dr. Halsey manages to contact... Oh, that's when they found her. And at the very end of Halo 5, they get a nice happy reunion with Blue Team, and that also leads us straight into Bad Blood as well. And then the loot crate stuff. You want me to just hit the loot crate stuff?
Yeah, there wasn't a big pile in the loot crate stuff. The only thing is that there's a couple of wee bits here. It's all, I think, loot crate 12 or something that has this interaction.
The loot crates were great. They promised us a lot of lore, and there wasn't actually that much lore in them. By January 24th, 2559, everyone was still on the run performing erratic jumps to evade discovery. That day, Halsey was approached by a Spartan from Fireteam Apollo. This individual had been tasked by Captain Lasky with investigating what could be dubbed as the Guardian Incident. This is where they're just kind of trying to like pick Halsey's brain for information, basically. The Spartan questions the Doctor about Cortana's creation. Halsey defended her actions. She also refused to reveal what had become of the clones of herself she had made, claiming that that was still classified. Of course, we all know where those are. Those are back on Reach. They asked her what she thought the best explanation for what happened was. Halsey recalled Cortana's first words and theorized that she was simply doing what she had to do in order to keep the game from ending. Halsey then quoted the Greek philosopher Epicurus. You never have to say the Greek philosophers' names, you just have to read them, so.
This is true.
And she suggested that Cortana was the answer to this thought experiment regarding the harm in saying tomorrow you will die when kissing one's child. Before they went, Halsey shared what the last thing Cortana said to her. The Spartan asked what the words were supposed to have meant, but Halsey could only say that she had been hoping they were able to explain them to her.
Very conveniently, Halopedia do not give you the final words that Cortana said to Halsey, and I did not get those loot crates, so I have no clue what was said.
I don't remember either. I'm sure I would have to dig through all of those stupid, like, the file folders they give you.
I'm hoping sometime next week we'll find out that Ian has, like, a copy of them somewhere digitally and we can find out what was on it. But I got no clue because when you go through to the loot crate page, it's like, nah, these don't exist anymore.
Finally, on September 19th, 2559, Dr. Halsey made modifications to John's third generation Mjolnir itself, having been first created on February 10th, 2559. That's it. We're all up to speed. That's the last thing we kind of hear from her in
Thank Christ.
Regards to Halo Infinite. Oh my god. I mean, that it's only been like an hour and 13 minutes, so it hasn't been that bad, actually.
No, but we would have had to do another hour and 13 minutes probably for Cortana. Yeah, there is a
no
lot.
Yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah, basically, the last time we see Halsey in the flesh is in Bad Blood when she's back on the Infinity, and then the last we know of her being about is during the... Oh, what is that trailer called?
The Halo Infinite one?
Yeah, is it like Hope something or other?
It's something like that. It's that original, like, Halo Infinite trailer.
Yeah, with the pilot. During the boot-up scene, when you look on the inside of Chief's visor, you see various bits of information. I think they had Game Pass codes and all on some of those screens, but one of them is an edit made to the software by Halsey, so we know she was at least alive on September 19th of 2559. She is, like, getting... They keep portraying her as being more frailer and more battered, which kind of makes sense because, like, she's had her arm chopped off. She basically didn't sleep from the start of the Spartan 2 project until she was locked away on the Infinity as a prisoner. And according to the Kilo 5 novel, she didn't sleep then. She just cried a lot in her bunk, which is also very sad. So maybe it has taken a toll on her, but... She may be alive in Infinite. Like, this is basically at the end of these dossiers, we always say, like, what impact could this have in Infinite? Like, it wouldn't surprise me if we found out Halsey was dead.
No, you think?
They could just as easily kill her off. Like, you could just have it that, like, she died off screen. I think she will be in... We've heard her in at least one audio log, because that's how we know she sounds very frail.
I feel like Halsey is going to choose her own death. Just in general, just the way Halsey operates. I feel like if Halsey dies, it's going to be a sacrificial death. Just because she's still very plagued by all of her actions thus far. So I feel like if Halsey's going out, she's going out on her terms. And she's going out, you know, as a benefit to humanity. Because that's, you know, that's been her goal the entire time, even though she hasn't always done that goal perfectly. It's always been for the greater development of humanity. That's at least my thoughts on the matter. I don't think she's just going to die of old age, you know? That would be very un-Halsey of her to just die of old age.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see, but, like, we do know she's at least in some of the audio logs, so she was at least on the Halo at some point.
She's never been on a Halo, too. I mean, gosh, it's about time she got on a Halo.
Yeah, this would be her first, like, time on a Halo, because before that she's only been on Onyx. That's, like, her only... That and the ship under Sword Base are, like, her only real Forerunner interactions before now.
Yeah, so I think it would be cool to have her on a Halo.
I think it would be cool if she was an NPC in your Halo world and you got to, like, rescue her and have her on your base somewhere.
You pick flowers for her, bake cookies for her.
Imagine if you spent your time as Chief scavenging in the world to, like, go and make Halsey a present.
I would love that. That's the side quest I want. It's like, pick flowers for Halsey. Halsey's like, I want to study all the different fauna and flora of this area. And you, like, basically just end up making a bouquet for Halsey.
Then you bring her back a flood spore as a sample, and then it kills her.
No! God, could you imagine if the Gravemind was able to take all of Halsey's knowledge? It would be bad. That'd be pretty bad.
The idea of the Gravemind being able to shout at you in Halsey's voice, also terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, Krista, I think we can wrap this lore episode for now. Like we said, we will do a separate dossier now on Cortana. I think probably the only person we won't... I think we decided we may not do a dossier for Chief because...
It's Chief.
We potentially have, what are we now, September, October, November. We have two more dossiers potentially before it's all over. And we're kind of hoping to get some more information on Infinite because one of them was going to be the possible characters of Infinite. And so far we have the pilot.
Who has no
and
name.
And that episode will be about 14 minutes long and 13 of those will be talking about his wife and child.
Perfect.
And his beard.
And his glorious beard.
Right, I think that'll do us. Krista, do you want to take us home?
Yeah, I'll take us home. All right, thank you for joining us. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, you can find every episode to all of our shows at the website halopodcastevolve.com, or you can search for our unique podcast feed wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. If you want to listen to everything all in one feed, you have to go to Halo Podcast Evolved on your favorite podcast service, and please leave us a review while you are there. Once again, another special shout out to our Patreons for supporting the show and making all of this possible. Head to patreon.com/halopodcastevolved to learn more. And finally, if you want to leave us a voicemail about this episode or previous episode about anything Halo related, please don't talk about your personal issues on our voicemail. We will not listen to them and we will not play them on the show. But just so you know, if we deem your voicemail good, we will feature you on the show. So make sure that you are keeping that in mind when you do leave us a voicemail. Or you could just say, please don't play this voicemail. You could do that as well. So give us a call at 205-EVOLVED. That's 205-386-5833. And with that, I have been your host, Krista. And until next time, evolved.
Evolved.